Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Second Estate, How the Tax Code Made an American Aristocracy by Ray D. Madoff is a non-fiction policy analysis of the U.S. tax system, focused on how legal rules allow extreme wealth to accumulate and remain largely outside normal taxation, drawing on Madoff's background as a tax and estate planning scholar. The book argues that the American tax code has developed into two different systems, one for people who earn wages and salaries, and another for people whose wealth comes mainly from assets. Rather than treating the tax code as a neutral mechanism, Madoff shows how its structure can favor those who live off investments, borrowing, and inherited assets. The book also examines the role of estate planning, capital gains treatment, and charitable vehicles in preserving dynastic wealth. Its purpose is not only to explain tax rules, but to show how those rules shape inequality, public revenue, and democratic fairness in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the tax code separates earners from owners. A central argument in the book is that the United States does not really have one tax system in practice. Madoff distinguishes between people who make money through wages and salaries, and people whose wealth comes from ownership of assets, such as stocks, businesses, and real estate. Earners usually face direct income tax and payroll tax on money as soon as it is received, which makes taxation immediate and unavoidable. Owners, by contrast, can allow wealth to grow without triggering tax until an asset is sold, and in many cases, the sale may never happen in a taxable way. This distinction matters because it explains why nominally rich households can face very different tax burdens. The book uses that contrast to challenge the common assumption that tax liability rises naturally with wealth. In Madoff's framing, the code is structured in a way that rewards asset accumulation over labor income, which helps explain why the ultra-wealthy can often reduce their effective tax rate far below what ordinary workers pay. Secondly, borrowing against assets as a tax avoidance strategy. One of the most important mechanisms in the book is the use of debt to finance spending without creating taxable income. Madoff explains that wealthy individuals can borrow against appreciated assets instead of selling them. Because a loan is not treated as income, this lets them fund consumption while postponing taxation indefinitely. The practical effect is that the value of investments can continue compounding while the owner enjoys the economic benefits of the wealth. This strategy is especially powerful for people whose fortunes are tied to publicly traded stock or other appreciating assets, since they can access liquidity without realizing gains. The book treats this as more than a technical loophole. It shows how tax law, by taxing realized income instead of accrued wealth, makes it possible for the richest Americans to live in ways that are economically similar to income, but legally distinct from it. That distinction is one reason the ultra-rich can appear to contribute little in federal tax even while their fortunes rise substantially. Thirdly, step-up in basis and the preservation of inherited wealth. Madoff gives special attention to the estate and inheritance rules that allow wealth to pass between generations with limited tax cost. A key example is the step-up in basis, which resets the tax basis of inherited assets at death and can erase capital gains that accumulated during the decedent's lifetime. In practical terms, this means decades of appreciation may never be subject to income tax if the owner holds the asset until death. The book presents this as one of the most important reasons dynastic wealth survives so easily in the United States. Estate and gift taxes were intended to slow that process, but Madoff argues that their reach is too limited to counteract the broader advantages enjoyed by asset holders. This analysis helps explain why the concentration of wealth can persist across generations even in a system that formally values merit and equal citizenship. Donor-advised funds and tax sheltering, another major theme, is the way philanthropy can be used to secure tax advantages without guaranteeing immediate public benefit. Madoff is especially critical of donor-advised funds, which let donors receive an immediate deduction while postponing the actual transfer of money to active charities. The book does not argue that philanthropy is inherently bad. Instead, it asks whether the tax code allows wealthy donors to capture public subsidies without ensuring that charitable dollars reach operating nonprofits in a timely way. This matters because charitable deductions reduce tax revenue, yet the public often has little visibility into when or whether the money is eventually spent. Madoff's treatment of philanthropy connects tax law to accountability. She suggests that when giving vehicles are too flexible, they can become another method of controlling wealth rather than redistributing it. In that sense, the book broadens the discussion of tax avoidance beyond income and estates to include the nonprofit sector, showing how public policy can unintentionally reward private control over public purpose. Lastly, why the book treats tax policy as a democratic issue. The book is not only about accounting rules, it is about what those rules do to political and social power. Madoff argues that when the wealthiest households can largely opt out of taxation, the burden shifts toward wage earners and the middle class, which increases resentment and weakens the perceived legitimacy of the system. Just as importantly, reduced taxation of the very rich limits public revenue for schools, infrastructure, healthcare, and other services that support a functioning democracy. The book, therefore, links tax design to inequality in opportunity and influence. Its use of the phrase American aristocracy signals that the issue is not only unfairness at the individual level, but the creation of a durable class structure protected by law, inherited privilege. The result is an analysis that is legal, economic, and political at the same time. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable for readers interested in tax policy, wealth inequality, estate planning, public finance, and the legal architecture behind modern capitalism. It is especially useful for policymakers, lawyers, economists, students of political economy, and general readers who want to understand why the richest Americans often pay far less tax than wage earners. The main benefit of the book is that it translates a complex and opaque system into a clear account of how tax rules interact with wealth ownership, borrowing, inheritance, and charitable vehicles. Unlike many books about inequality that stay at the level of moral criticism, Madoff focuses on concrete legal mechanisms. That makes the argument more specific and more actionable. It also distinguishes the book from broader popular works on billionaires or class division, because its target is not wealth in the abstract, but the tax rules that help preserve it. Readers who want a rigorous explanation of how inequality is reproduced through law, rather than through vague market forces alone, will find this book especially useful. It stands out for combining legal expertise with a direct critique of structural favoritism in the tax code. If you would like to support Ray D. Madoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.